Welcome to Truth Matters Saturday with Dr. Cheryl Davis. Dr. Davis continues her series on the book of Daniel and teaches today from Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the five major kingdoms and Daniel's prophecy concerning the end time. Here's Dr. Davis, Daniel, man of vision, man of righteousness.
Hi, I'm Dr. Cheryl Davis. We have been beginning in the book of Daniel, and we've already covered chapter 1 and an important point of where Daniel purposed in his heart, and we see that he's taking a stand and being obedient for God, even in the setting of captivity. Moving on to chapter 2, we get to Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And a lot of us are very aware of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, but the book of Daniel is very important for prophecy. And it is very important for us to understand the book of Daniel because Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 24:15, and I'll read that for us. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. It is important for the disciples to understand Daniel as well as us. So we're going to move into chapter 2 today. Let's begin with verses 1 through 13. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, "I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation." The king answered and said, "I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. You know, interestingly, Nebuchadnezzar is the reigning king of the modern world at this time. Babylon is the gold standard, which we're going to see later in this dream. But Babylon is the conqueror of the known world, but he was a dreamer. Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. And after this dream, it says that his spirit was so troubled that he could not sleep. And his standard is to call in the magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, and Chaldeans, wise men, to tell him his dream. And he's telling him, "Tell your servants the dream." And the wise men are saying, "Please tell us the dream and we'll tell you the interpretation." But he is very keen to who these wise men are and knowing that they would try to buy time, knowing that they were incapable. So in verse 10, "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things. There is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh." Interestingly, these wise men knew their limitations. And I, you know, would like to give them props for that. They knew their limitations. And in this case, they actually explained that to Nebuchadnezzar. But how would you describe what this dream is? Would you say this is just a dream driven by the subconscious mind to the most vile dictator of his day? He is the first Gentile king to rule the world. In the Old Testament, God communicated to prophets in dreams when they're asleep and visions when they're awake. So what was this? I don't think this was just a random dream. I firmly believe that this was a dispensation from heaven to Nebuchadnezzar, a message from God. And in verse 28, we will get to that. But normally, dreams don't trouble someone's spirit to the degree that it troubled Nebuchadnezzar. But his spirit was troubled. And we see that in evidence of his tenacity and his hunger in getting the interpretation. But verse 11 is at the core of the meaning of being a real Christian. Here was Daniel on earth, virtually with connections in heaven, who was able to bring heaven to bear on the things of the earth. So why could Nebuchadnezzar not remember the dream? Why could Nebuchadnezzar not remember the dream? It's very interesting. And, you know, the more I thought about this, if you turn to 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Nebuchadnezzar did not have a relationship with God at this point, and he did not have the ability or the Holy Spirit there to allow him to spiritually discern the dream. In verses 12 through 13, it says, the king was angry and very furious. He gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. The decree went out and they began killing the wise men, and they sought to kill Daniel and his companions. But how do you explain this decree? How do you explain Nebuchadnezzar's temper? He was a very defiled man. Whenever he said yes, it was yes. He could change his mind and say no. If he chose to allow someone to live, they lived. If he chose to allow someone to die, they died. But Nebuchadnezzar was working under the devices of Satan. And the whole purpose of Satan in this chapter was to rid the world of Daniel, as well as this book. Daniel had a very strong anointing. He was strongly gifted by God. But a man who determines not to compromise his convictions will get Satan's attention. A man who determines not to compromise his convictions will get Satan's attention. And this is established in chapter 1. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. He purposed in his heart to be obedient to God. And when you do that, that is righteous living. And when righteous living is effective, in which Daniel was, persecution will come. And this is an example of persecution and Satan working through Nebuchadnezzar. In verses 14 through 18, moving on, then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guards, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Notice how Daniel responds under extreme situations of stress. Basically, we learn in verse 13, and so the decree went out, and Arioch is the executioner, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. So Arioch obviously comes to Daniel's home. He's the captain of the king's guard as he's gone out to kill all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel still attempts to reason and negotiate with Arioch, the same negotiation, the skill that God has given him in chapter 1. And he asks Arioch, what is the matter of the king? Why is it so urgent? And God probed Arioch to make the decision known to Daniel. You know, we see the Holy Spirit working on all characters involved. So Daniel exhibited courage at this point, where he could have easily cowered in the corner to say, so be it. And, you know, the king has made the decree. I'm not going to do anything against that. But Daniel went in and shows bravery and asked the king to give him time, that he might tell the king the interpretation. Notice he did not ask the king for what the dream was. He knew that God had gifted him with wisdom as well as understanding and visions and dreams. And he did not necessarily have faith in himself, but he had faith in his God that he would be able to interpret it. So the king said, yes, actually, you know, the king gave him time. And I think that's the favor that God gave for Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar. But interestingly, he goes back to his home and makes the decision known to his friends. And these are friends that are godly. You know, these are not just other wise men, other Chaldeans, other astrologers. Notice he goes to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the same people who purposed in their heart not to defile God along with Daniel. There's a key point here that when you're going through struggles or you're going through stressful times and you need someone to pray, you just don't go to any random person on the street. You need to have friends in your circle that can approach the throne of heaven that will keep their situations to themselves, but will approach and pray and share in your burden, cast their burdens on God as well, along with you, so that the Holy Spirit can move in your situation. In verse 19 through 23, we see God work in Daniel's life again. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who are understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and you have now made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the king's demand." God revealed the dream to Daniel in a night vision. But first, Daniel doesn't immediately go to Nebuchadnezzar and say, "Hey, king, I got the answer to your dream." He praises and thanks God. And I think that's an important lesson for us, that when there's dispensations from heaven or even answers in prayer, oftentimes we can forget where they come from. We need to credit God and praise God for the things that he does for us and for who he is, especially for sending his son on the cross to die for our sins so that all this is possible. And moving on to verses 24 through 30. "Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and says thus to him, 'Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation.' Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, 'I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation.' The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, 'Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?' Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, 'The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what will come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sakes, who make known the interpretation of the king, that you may know the thoughts of your heart." Interestingly, you know, Daniel is very brave to approach the king. The dream is revealed to him by God. He praises God. And then he goes to Arioch. But notice how Arioch responds to Nebuchadnezzar. He goes to Nebuchadnezzar in verse 25 and says, "I have found a man." Arioch takes the credit for himself in finding a man for interpretation. But really, Daniel is the one that approached Nebuchadnezzar on his behalf to ask for more time. Daniel gives credit above the impotent astrologers, magicians, and soothsayers. He says, "The secret which the king demanded, they really can't declare it." And really, they had already said that before. They know their limitations, but he's reinforcing that with Nebuchadnezzar. But he gives credit to God, where he says, "There is a God in heaven who reveals secrets." And really, this is Nebuchadnezzar's first encounter with God. And he doesn't take credit himself. Daniel is very humble, which I think is a perfect example of how we should be. He says, "But as for me, the secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. It is because God wants to make known the interpretation to the king, that you may know the thoughts of your heart." It's important for us to know the example in the life of Daniel, as that is how we are to live as Christians. We are to live righteously, and we are to praise God for his deliverance, but we're also to give the credit to God for what God does and not take the credit for ourselves and not be prideful and boastful.
Learning to live a whole and pure life for God is a commitment that we should endeavor to pursue. The prophet Daniel discovered the importance of holiness and obedience to the Lord early in his life. It was through this experience that God chose him to share extraordinary secrets of the ages and to impart to him a timeline from Babylon to Armageddon. Today, more than ever, we are literally closer than ever to the conclusion of Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the fulfillment of Daniel's end-time prophecy. What is important is that you are ready, ready for the end when it comes. If you are caught between faith and doubt, Dr. Davis would like to help you. You can reach her by email at CherylDavis@ProjectTruthMatters.com or connect with her on Facebook at Truth Matters with Dr. Cheryl Davis. Or you can write to her at The Truth Project, P.O. Box 159, St. Paul's, North Carolina, 28384. Please join us again next Saturday at the same time for Truth Matters with Dr. Cheryl Davis. where biblical truth truly matters. We are a ministry of the Truth Project.